You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the Deep Dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a Deep Dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. And this week's deep dive is actually based off of a recent TEDx talk that I did called The Five Laws of Cybersecurity. Now, originally, The Five Laws of Cybersecurity was an article I wrote, roughly 8 months to a year ago or so for Forbes. And it was my idea to try to codify laws that would be usable for everybody out there to try to understand cybersecurity. And so without further ado, this is my TED Talk from earlier this month, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'd like you to consider for a moment that there are roughly 6,900 languages spoken on our planet. And these thousands of languages serve thousands of cultures daily, from the smallest community to the largest continent. Now, even with this vast diversity among our global population, we have some alternative languages and methods for communication that are universally understood among everyone. For example, every culture has mathematics. If I have one apple and somebody gives me another apple, I have two apples. This is accepted worldwide without fail. Now, as of this year, the largest culture by far is that of the internet user. With 7.6 billion humans on Earth, around 3.6 billion of us are online and communicating with each other and institutions daily. Thus, another common language we all share, but most don't realize, is the networking protocols that the internet runs on and the social media platforms that tie us together, and emojis. We can't forget the emojis. But what our internet culture tends to lack is a common language to foster understanding as to how we defend and protect ourselves against online threats. Outside of hardcore cybersecurity and IT people like myself, nobody really understands the language that is nerd. So it is my mission to be the best nerd to English translator I can be in order to help the planet stay safe online. And so without further ado, here are my five laws of cybersecurity that are designed to make everyone more aware of the problems our global internet culture faces. Law number one, if there is a vulnerability, it will be exploited. No exceptions. Consider for a moment that when the first bank was conceived and built, there was at least one person out there who thought, "I want to rob that." In the more modern era, since the first bug was found in a computer, hackers, good and bad, have been looking for ways to bypass the framework or laws that govern a computer program, a system, or even our society in general. Now, think about this for a second. There are those in our society who will try and hack everything within their capability. This could be obvious with more basic exploits, like the person who figured out how to obstruct their car's license plate to go through an automatic toll booth for free, or the more obscure, such as infecting a complex computer system to derail an illegal nuclear weapons program, which actually happened in the mid-2000s. Finding ways around everything for good and bad purposes is so ubiquitous today that we even have a term for it: life hacking. And with this, we can move on to the next law. Law number two, everything is vulnerable in some way. We cannot assume that anyone or anything is off the table, nor is anything completely safe anymore. We've seen a series of massive data breaches over the years from corporations that literally spend millions annually on cyber defense strategies. From enormous retailers to gigantic health insurance providers, these corporations hold millions of records on virtually every person in the United States and fall under multiple government compliance laws for data security, yet here we are. And we can go even more obscure or straight out of left field for examples of this law. So for decades, we have assumed our computer processors are essentially safe and harmless, doing the job they were designed for. At the beginning of 2018, it was revealed that for decades, these technological workhorses have been carrying a massive vulnerability that could allow malicious hackers to wreak havoc on all of us. From minor to major vulnerabilities, law number two is inescapable. And with this, we can move on to law number three. Humans trust even when they shouldn't. Trust, quite frankly, sucks. We need trust in our lives. We cannot have a functioning society without it. Now, we have positive expectations with our technology and the people that help us with it. We expect the light switch will turn the light on when it's flipped, or that the mechanic we pay to fix our car will actually fix it and not rip us off. But we have to question our trust in the technology infrastructure and online people around us. This is our greatest weakness in cybersecurity. Because of trust, people fall for phishing scams, assume that the antivirus program they bought for $20 will turn their computer into Fort Knox, it won't, or believe the form they're filling out online is legit, it sometimes isn't. It sounds weird to say that we need to combat trust, but we have to if we're going to survive against the nonstop hacking that takes place. And understanding law number three allows us to move on to law number four. Law number four, with innovation comes opportunity for exploitation. The world is full of brilliant people. Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, which made the world a whole lot smaller. Bill Gates created a global computing operating system that basically got humanity on the same technological page. Mark Zuckerberg created a social media platform used by billions globally to share their lives. However, with each innovation and evolution in our technology come certain exploits. Now, we live in the age of IoT, or Internet of Things, and by virtue of this, our lives have hopefully been made better. Innovative and unique products are being released constantly, which makes it easier to live in our homes, use our cars, or even improve our health. However, one of the biggest examples of innovation exploitation is IoT hacking. In 2006, a virus known as Mirai infected millions of IoT devices worldwide, and then weaponize them against targets, which created some of the largest bandwidth attacks the internet has ever seen. As the world continues to generate amazing new ideas and products, we cannot forget the lesson of law number four. And finally, law number five. When in doubt, see law number one. If there is a vulnerability, it will be exploited. No exceptions. Now, this one really isn't a cop-out. It's really not. Every single law here comes down to the simple fact that no matter what the concerns or problems are with regard to cybersecurity, they all stem from a vulnerability of some kind. If we ever forget this, we are doing nothing but asking for trouble. Our ability to properly defend ourselves comes from understanding that human nature makes these laws immutable. When we start thinking like a hacker is when we can actually stop them. So here's to our new common language that helps us and hopefully the world stay safe with technology. Thank you. And that was my TED Talk from earlier in August, and it just recently came out, I want to say a couple of weeks ago or so. You can find it on YouTube on the TEDx, and I believe TED channel as well. It's called The Five Laws of Cybersecurity, and it's kind of my mantra. And just as a quick recap, law number one, if there's a vulnerability, it will be exploited. Law number two, everything is vulnerable in some way. Law number three, humans trust even when they shouldn't. Law number four, with innovation comes opportunity for exploitation. And law number five, when in doubt, see law number one. If there is a vulnerability, it will be exploited. And as long as we are keeping this in mind when we're approaching technology, whether we're using the wireless in our local coffee shop or a hotel or an airport, or, ooh, we found a free flash drive, or we look at a site and is it legit, is it not? If we are keeping this in mind, then we know that no matter how we're interacting, whether it's the technology itself that could possibly be exploited, or whether it's ourselves looking at a website because we trust even when we shouldn't, we will be more protected online. We will be that much safer, and the world will be that much safer by virtue of that. So hopefully you guys will take that to heart. I really am glad that I was able to get that out there in so many different formats. And again, thank you for listening, and hopefully you'll see the video at some point and watch me walking around a stage with the giant TED letters behind me and all that. It was kind of fun. And hopefully you'll check out my first TED talk as well from earlier this year called Trust Sucks, which dives more into the third law, which is humans trust even when they shouldn't. So again, thanks for listening. And that has been your deep dive of the week. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the tip of the week. And if you have an idea for a tip of the week, I am all ears. I'm more than happy to entertain anything. You can find me at Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP, or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com, and I'm more than happy to give you a shout out here for your tip of the week. Let's begin. And this week's tip of the week is actually going to be, I think, a series of tips, basically because we want to make sure that you are obviously safe out online. And so we're going to go through a whole bunch of things that are going to make you that much more safer. Just coming off the heels, you know, of our of the TED talk I just did on the five laws of cybersecurity, let's get a little more specific about this, because obviously as we're talking about all of these wonderful things or horrible things or terrifying things or anything in the news and everything else, we want to make sure that we're safe online, we're safe with our devices, you know, we're safe with everything. And so the first one I'm going to talk about is make sure that you've got good passwords. 8 characters, even 9 characters, I don't think is enough. I would like to see you guys having passwords between 10 and 14 characters long from 4 character sets, uppercase letters, lowercase letters, numbers, and special characters like exclamation points, question marks, dashes, that kind of thing. And if you've got those things, it doesn't have to be like 9x27-43. You know, it can be something that you know that's easy to remember, but if as long as you've got those special characters and those numbers in there and all of that, it's going to be incredibly, incredibly hard, you know, to break. The next thing that we're going to be talking about here is locking up your devices. Don't leave your devices unattended. You know, if you need to leave it out for any length of time, lock it so that nobody can use it while it's gone. Now, I'm not just talking about physically locking it so that nobody can steal it. I'm talking about like locking your screen out so that nobody can sit down in front of your device and, you know, manipulate it, add it, you know, remove things, look at things, all of that kind of stuff. The next thing we're going to be talking about is links and attachments in emails. Make sure that you are called what's basically what's called safe clicking. You're practicing safe clicking. You know, if you get an email that has an attachment or a link and all that, you don't necessarily need to click that link because it may take you to a malicious site, or you click that attachment, it may be malicious and download a payload for you. That's a serious problem. You know, so make sure that you're not clicking on those things. If you are genuinely concerned about it, you can copy and paste you know, the link into your website. If it's a email from your bank, for example, saying, oh, well, you're overdrawn or we have a problem or whatever, click here to log in. Don't click the link. Just go to your bank's website yourself, you know, www.chase.com or usbank.com or, you know, whatever you use.com to go there, because you know that's going to be significantly safer. And if you do have a problem with your bank, you can call and talk to them directly. You know, another important tip is to back things up. Make sure that you are backing things up, usually to a cloud service, because it's easier. So if I'm connected to the internet and I'm saving a file to a folder or a presentation I'm working on, it's being saved to the computer, but it's also being duplicated into the cloud. So if my computer dies, or God forbid it's lost or stolen or something like that, I can retrieve a copy of it pretty much in real time. Another good tip would be to share less sensitive information. Watch what you're putting out on social networks. These are great places for criminals to cull information from you. Also check your privacy settings on social media as well, because a lot of times people post very damaging things or personal information that a hacker could use possibly for identity theft purposes. And I should say malicious hacker, because obviously there are good hackers out there as well. But that's really important. Also, don't take stupid quizzes. And I've mentioned this before, but you know, you see quizzes like, oh, you know, what was your first car? You know, well, where else do you talk about your first car? In like bank security questions. What's your mother's maiden name? Like, oh, I remember my hometown of blah, 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 like in the quiz. And then you pop up and say, oh, yeah, my hometown was blah, blah. Well, again, think about these things. We have to apply critical thinking to these things. We also, as another tip, need to stay on top of our accounts. We need to look at these things and make sure that we don't see any weird or unusual transactions in there. Some criminals will not necessarily steal a credit card with a $10,000 limit and then max it out to $10,000. They might buy $20 here, $10 there, you know, and they'll have multiple credit cards from multiple people where they're spreading it around. So, you know, they'll buy groceries or a little bit of gas or this. It's not always, you know, walking into a retail store to buy a whole bunch of TVs for resale on eBay. It's, you know, so make sure that you've got that, because you could be literally, they could be siphoning money slowly, you know, out of your accounts. I mean, these are things that we just need to be thinking about. And finally, I want to talk to you guys about realizing that you guys are a target. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, it won't happen to me. You know, I have no personal information. It's not the point. Your computer can be hijacked and used against you. It can be used against your family. It can just simply be used to jack up your electricity bill as they use your computer as a hacking device or a cryptocurrency mining device. And now you're getting outrageous electricity bills, in which case, who cares about your personal data? It happened to you. You are a target. I am a target. Every single person listening to this, watching one of my videos, reading my articles, you know, watching the TED Talks, whatever that is, they are all targets. Everybody here. And while it's not specific, nobody's saying, oh, let's go get Bill from Idaho. You know, odds are Bill's just an innocuous guy, right? Just living his life. He's still a target because hackers blanket entire communities. They don't send one spam email. They send 50,000, 100,000, a million. And then you get caught up in this. Everybody is a target. Everybody needs security. Everybody has assets to protect, whether it's savings or family members that don't know better, you know, whatever that is. Everybody, you are a target. And that is the last tip. But I will give you a bonus tip in the sense that we need to teach others about these things. We really do. I mean, we have what's called herd immunity in immunization and in the medical field that basically says if we have 100 people that all have a vaccination and one person can't get that vaccination for whatever reason, let's say they're allergic to it, that person that is surrounded by the other 99 is infinitely more safer because the virus isn't going to permeate the barrier that those 99 people create around that one individual. It's the same in cybersecurity. If we are not letting our parents, our grandparents, our children, our coworkers, our teachers, our whatever, you know, in on this, if they don't know not to use the free wireless, or they don't know that they're a target, or they think it's not going to happen to them, or they're not backing their data up, or, you know, they're not really paying attention and clicking on links, they are going to get infected. And by virtue of that, that infection comes closer to you. You're going to be on their address list. You're going to be in their social media. You become a target. And so it's so important that we are educating everybody. And one of my goals in life is to educate the masses. That's literally why I have a radio show. That's literally why I do daily videos. It's literally why I try to get everybody talking about cybersecurity, because it's so important. We live in the age of the hacker, good and bad, helpful and malicious. We cannot escape this. We have to keep going with this. And so please, please, please inform everybody else. I'm more than happy to have more listeners. You can just point them my way. I'll teach them myself. I don't care. Shameless plug for me, but just please make sure you are keeping yourself and everyone you know safe online. And that has been your tip of the week. And now let's take some questions from the audience. And if you would like your question read on air, you can find me at Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP, as I know I've mentioned before. And also you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. And I am more than happy to give you a shout out and answer anything about cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology that is on your mind. So with that, let's begin. And Bill W. from Pittsburgh wants to know, where should I focus my cybersecurity efforts? In protecting my perimeter, reacting to attacks, something else? And Bill, thank you so much for the question. And for those of you that don't know, basically a perimeter is anything behind the perimeter. A perimeter that you create is your computer infrastructure. This is your laptops, your computers, your IoT devices, your Xbox, whatever that is. And then the perimeter is built by a firewall. Basically, it's a router that routes your traffic, but also protects incoming traffic and outgoing traffic from threat. And so I just for those of you that don't know what a perimeter is, that's the basics of what a perimeter is. And Bill, thank you for the question. It is a loaded question. So if I'm working with a company for a cybersecurity assessment, one of the things that I'm looking at is a threat profile for the company. I am trying to figure out who is going to be a likely target to want to hack that company. Now, on the individual side, it's a little different because individuals, by virtue of having social media and interacting with others and going places like their bank or other areas like that, the threat landscape becomes a little different. And so if I am looking at focusing my energies in cybersecurity, usually what I'm doing is trying to focus it on creating a holistic approach stem to stern. So ideally, what we want to do is we want to actually prevent the viruses, infections, or any kind of malfeasance from actually getting into the computer or the device, which means putting out cybersecurity in front of it. And this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about firewalls and all of that. So if you're in your house and let's say you have an internet service provider like Comcast, Comcast has probably provided you with a box. It's like a modem slash router, and there's a very basic firewall in there that really doesn't do much good, but that is your perimeter. That is your router. And so before your computer goes to the internet and talks to something, or before something can talk to your computer, it has to pass through that box. It has to pass through that router. So if we are getting a better box with what's called Unified Threat Management, which has intrusion detection technology, intrusion prevention technology, antivirus, all this kind of stuff, then we are actually attempting to stop anything that could possibly get to the computer before it actually touches the computer. Same with web filter. So if you have what's called a DNS-based web filter in your computer, and I strongly recommend that, they're pretty inexpensive, then what ends up happening is before you actually go and reach the site, you are actually going through that filtering's defense. It's checking the site for you before you're actually able to get there, and that is infinitely safer. And so when I am focusing my energies, I am focusing it on protecting the environment that I'm in to not allow the threats to get to the actual sensitive computers and data and all of that. But then if they do, I am then focusing my time, and this is always part of a good cyber defense strategy, on how I can protect the computers in a reactionary measure. So I'm looking at installing things like next generation antivirus, because if something gets through my perimeter, my firewall, my DNS filter, then I want that to kick in and be another line of defense. I mean, it's just one thing after the other with this. And so that is ideally what we are trying to do here. So with that, that is hopefully your answer to the question, but look at your perimeter, get a good firewall, get good antivirus, get a web filter. And then if you're talking about mobile things, and we're also talking about encryption and all of that as well. So that is things that you should be focusing on. I would not focus on any one particular field unless you know you have a very specific threat coming from that, in which case obviously bolster defense to defend against that very specifically. That's usually a business, corporate, organizational kind of thing, not an individual thing. And Bill, thank you for the loaded question. I really enjoyed it. And Steve from Portland, Oregon wants to know, what are some good pointers for a screen name to remain anonymous while online and using social media? And Steve, thank you very much for the question. This is actually something that is also pretty near and dear to my heart as well, because I have a pretty public image. I have a public Facebook page. You guys can go to it at any time, slash Nick AESP, or my Twitter, which is also at Nick AESP, or my LinkedIn, which is slash Nick Espinoza. I mean, I'm out there. But I have personal things, and I don't want those personal things to be shared. So while I have a public Facebook page, I also have a private one as well. And I have chosen a name that is completely random and anonymous to me. It has no connection to me whatsoever other than me just pulling it out of thin air. And so only those people that I know personally are in that private Facebook. Everybody else is in the public one that you can, you know, follow me on, interact with me with, all that kind of stuff. Now, if you are looking at doing something along those lines, while it technically violates the terms of service for, you know, Facebook and all of that, you can do it. They're not going to penalize you for it unless you start sending out spam or doing something very malicious that they're going to catch you. But if you're just living your life and, you know, posting, I don't know, stupid cat pictures, you know, and other things, then, you know, knock yourself out. So you can change your name. But I think it's also important that if you're selecting a screen name, I wouldn't use your own name as a login. I also would not use something that is, you know, like relative to you. In other words, something that's going to be able to easily identify you. So don't use your real name. I would also skip personal details like, you know, your age, addresses online. You know, don't use like a jersey number or something like that that you had when, you know, you were, you know, amazing in high school football or college or, you know, whatever it was. These are things that can be easily identified, because it's not just the fact that you may not necessarily want people being able to search for you directly. You don't want a malicious hacker to be able to figure out that, you know, your real name is Steve Smith, and I do not know your last name, so I'm assuming that's not it. But you don't want them to figure out that it's Steve Smith, or that Steve Smith went to, you know, X college and his jersey number was 10, so now it's Steve Smith 10, or your birthday, like Steve Smith, you know, 1983 or whenever you were born. You know, it's that kind of thing. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that. The other thing that I would say, and this is not really a screen name thing, but if you're trying to have a screen name that is going to keep you anonymous, and obviously you're going to pick a fake name, you're going to pick something that's not really related to you. It might be interests of yours as well. I mean, you can do that, but it's not something that, like, if I'm looking for Steve Smith, could go and find. I also would not put profile pictures that are you, because even if I'm not looking necessarily for Steve Smith or I can't find Steve Smith, maybe I find you because your picture is on the fake name that you've chosen, or your background photo in Facebook or something like that. And so make sure you're being very careful with that. So like with mine, for example, I have a randomized name, and then my profile picture is nothing to do with me, and my background picture again is nothing to do with me, and it's stuff that I find funny or I enjoy or whatever, but it's not actually me smiling looking at you. But then again, if you search for Nick Espinoza, like / Nick AESP on Facebook, then you're going to find my smiling face. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.